Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
My little notebook here on the front of it, I wrote this. It's an empty book that I had laying in my study. And probably 7-8 months ago, I wrote on the front of it, "The Journey." It's just been sitting there. And I looked at it when I was taking some notes for today. And that's what we're on. We're on a journey. Where we're going, God knows. I mean, He got us this far, right? God has a plan for our life. God wants us to walk in His ways. Those things that we know, that we've learned of Him, God wants us to do. You know, my message today was, it was about the rapture. It's about those end times event that the Bible says it's our blessed hope. It's the things that we look forward to in the future. We know that at any given moment when the Lord is ready, He's going to come back with a shout. He's going to come back for us as church. And we're going to receive that final stage of redemption. Our bodies are going to receive that glorified body. What a day. Have you guys ever imagined that? A resurrection body. What did Jesus do? Man, He walked through walls. You talk about splitting atoms. He moved at the speed of thought. I mean, He was one place. In the next instance, He was somewhere else. That's going to be a lot of fun. And one thing I really look forward to is no gravity. Gravity's not always your friend. I know after an accident I had in the woods, I spent a lot of time floating in a, just before I learned how to walk it, I floated in an inner tube in a pool. It felt so good. No gravity. We got a resurrection body coming, folks. It's going to be a good day. Until then, we're going to walk by faith. We're going to believe God for everything that we have. Y'all know I love cats, right? Well, I brought one of these home the other day, and I got a cat that came out of her shell. Out of the two cats, she's the bigger one. And I wasn't finding anything that inspired her to really run at the end of the day or during the day to burn some calories. Where the other one was, you know, I mean, she leaped through the air with the greatest of ease, man. She was always on the go. But I had to cut these feathers off because she'd have done some damage to those. But, you know, I was walking around with these the other day. And I don't know. I think someone prayed over these things. How many have heard of Catherine Kuhlman? This gal under the anointing of God in her ministry and what she did, she would minister and then she would go into dance. She would begin to praise God and just, I don't know what kind of dance you would call it, but the anointing of God would fall. The presence of God would fall. And people, they couldn't stand in the presence of God. They were out everywhere, getting healed, delivered, set free. This scepter, I know Pastor Henry used an old cane that I used to have to use. I used for 10 years. After this accident I had. And he used it as an example of a scepter of righteousness. And I think I used this on Brother Dan the other night in a meeting. I anoint you in Jesus' name, you know, the scepter of righteousness to fulfill the call of God that's on your life. We have, Donnie, you can have these back after the service. Let me just borrow them. We have a mission in life. We're on a journey. God wants us to accomplish great and mighty things. I think something that God has just been dealing with me about for a long time. Pastor Henry is a lot about flow, about the move of the Spirit in our church, in our lives, in other churches. I mean, it's something God wants to do. And you know, since the moment that he began to talk about this, How many knows that every mighty move of God started somewhere? But about the time it started because there were thousands of other outreaches and peoples that were on their knees interceding, just like Azusa Street, just like any move of God, the Jesus movement during the 60s. It started somewhere, but as it was starting, it was in multiple places. And I've noticed a lot of other ministries that I've listened to, read about, and that's a one common theme that God seems to be saying. God wants to be able to flow in our church. He wants to flow in our lives. And in order for flow to take place, barriers have to come down. They do. As long as there's barriers up that's keeping us from walking in love towards one another, we're not going to have flow. So I'm encouraging you today to examine yourselves. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, God, change me. Help me to see where something in my life might be hindering what you want to do in my life. Because we all got something. We all got something in our lives that's keeping us back from excelling and fulfilling what it is God wants to do in our life. But only you know, and the Spirit of God that is within you. So even though my message, and I hope to get through it in its entirety, there's going to be a lot of reading, there's going to be a lot of scriptures, so I encourage you to take notes, like Pastor Henry mentioned last week. We think it's vitally important. I mean, there's a lot of time and preparation that's put into the presentation of the gospel anywhere you go. So we want to see you. I know if you're a lot like me, if I don't write it down, I'm probably going to forget. So I encourage you to take notes and go home and examine these things and ask the Lord if they be so. We will present the word to you, and then as everything is with God, your responsibility is to make sure that what you're hearing is absolute, that is truth. You know, I have a lot of fun with these at home. Maybe that's why I got them here, you know. Maybe there's someone here God wants to anoint, God wants to bless, God wants to speak into your life. I'm getting worried now, huh? You're going to pick somebody out. No, I'm not going to do that unless God says to. A scepter of righteousness. Walking in love is going to be something that we need to grow and develop in. It's a daily thing. We're never going to get it all. We're not. First thing I want to bring up, and I've said this on many occasions, but it's like Peter said. Paul said, do not be ignorant of these three things. And I think it's important that we always, that we bring to your remembrance the things that I know you already know, just in case you've let them slip. Number one, the Bible says, do not be ignorant of spiritual gifts. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of the rapture of the church, and don't be ignorant of the salvation of Israel. And the scripture references are up there. The one I want to focus on today is the rapture. But there's a foundation that needs to be laid. There's the message today is called the time between amen and there it is. Frame that takes place in our life. Whether it's the day you gave your life to the Lord and you said, I need you, God, amen. Or whether it's the time you walked through a church and said, amen, I found where I'm supposed to be. I found where I'm supposed to be plugged in. You say amen. There's a time that you were delivered from drugs, alcohol, and you said amen. And then there was a time. How am I doing? Technical adjustment.
Can we check this?
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure for some reason we're
He's alive again. Stone's been rolled away. Oh, clip it on the outside. No connection. All righty. How many remember that song? You ever hear that one? He's alive again. Stone's been rolled away. He's alive again. He is no longer in the grave. He's alive again. I can hear the angels say, let all the earth rejoice. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive in you. He's alive in me. And because he's in you and because he's in me, we can do all things because he's in us. God's wanting to lead us by his Holy Spirit. And when we learn the basics of Christianity and walk in love, a lot of those things that we're wanting to accomplish will just seem to happen, will just begin to flow. And I want to go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. I want to focus on verse 19. It says, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place in the earth. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. That word declare means reveal. When you're seeking God's will for your life and you go to the Word of God, it says right here, all things I reveal are right. You can count on God not leading you astray. How many know God can't lie? Do you know that? Why? Because everything he says comes to pass. It does. So this is a foundation of something I just want to point out to help you understand. God says, I declare all things that are right. Okay, go to Proverbs chapter 8. There it is. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Everything God says is truth, isn't it? You can count on him. You can count on what he says to be absolute truth. Pastor Henry, week after week after week, he's always teaching us about the revelation of God's word to us. What's God saying to you? How many of you have heard him say that? Come on, let's see. What's God saying to you? Now I know what Pastor Henry, are you not going to raise your hands on anything I ask? What is God saying to you? That's what God wants to do through you. God wants to change the world around you by him inside of you, revealing revelation truth. Being independently dependent on him. He does. He wants us to trust him at his word because he'll reveal all things, and all things he reveals is right. And what's the definition of grace that we've learned in this church? Divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. In the life of what? In the life of Christ, in you. That's God's divine grace being poured out in your life for you. He wants to perform miracles in you. He does. We're going to see these miracles take place. We're going to see signs and wonders take place. Turn with me. I said there's going to be a lot of reading here. So let's go to John chapter 16. John 16, verse 3. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? Say it with me. All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. You know, that's not only prophetically. I mean, God gives us bits and pieces, you know, from time to time about what he sees us doing down the road. But most of it is right here. Faith is now. Faith is now. It's today. God wants us to understand that His truth is all we need. Now, He speaks the truth. He never lies. Everything He reveals to you is absolute. And this says He will show you things to come. And this isn't just future tense. This has a reference also to things that aren't in the Bible. How many know the spouse you're believing for, you can't go to John 4 and find out who it is. You know, the job that you want, you seek first the kingdom of God. You allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Through this, He'll show you. He'll bear witness with your spirit who you're to marry. He'll bear witness with you on what job to go do. He will show you things to come as you put your faith and trust and confidence in Him. This is a question for all of us. What is truth? What's the Bible say truth is? I'll give you a hint. It's in the next chapter. In verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you ever want to know the truth about something, go to the Word. Pray in the Spirit. Get together with God. Spend time. Spend time every morning before you ever leave home. We're developing a preparation here, a format, a foundation of walking in love. I do this every day. I look in the mirror and I say, God, change me. Change the things in me that need to change. Help me develop into things that I need to develop in. Show me. And then that, and spend time in the Word. I don't care if it's just open up Proverbs and reading a proverb. Whatever it is you do, get into this before you leave. I mean, I like to read to my wife in the morning. And it's inevitable. Something during the course of that day, I'm going to be able to use what I read that morning. I'm going to be able to speak that into someone's life. God's going to bring it to my remembrance because it got in there. God can only bring to your remembrance the things you put in. So it's vitally important. Romans 12, 1 and 2, man, we need to renew our mind to what the Bible says. And reading it every morning is a good way to renew your mind, to prepare your heart to be able to have that which you need that day. Praise God. Now, in John 17, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, starting in verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. How many knows when you gave your life to the Lord, did it have anything to do with something you said? Like, help, I need you. You know, God responds to the spoken word. You know, faith is voice activated. It is. Look that up sometime. You respond. Let's just use this as an analogy. You ever been around somebody that they're always down? You know, it kind of slunk over and it's like, man, nothing ever works out. You know, I feel like stuff today. I don't have any friends. Faith is voice activated. Your body responds to what you say. If that same person would stand up a little taller and put a little step into their walk and declare, this is going to be the best day of my life because Jesus Christ lives big in me, they're going to be different. They're going to respond different because of their words. Their words activated faith within them. It caused a belief in you to do something. Today's going to be the best day of my life. Amen. How about yours? Huh? Amen. So, let me keep reading here.
where was I? We'll start in 22. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And the glory, that word glory means recognition or position. So the recognition or position which you've given me, I've given them. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ in this earth. We've been given permission by him to do what he did. Amen. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as you have loved me. I want to focus on 23 here where it says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect. That word made perfect means complete unity. Complete unity. We're talking about flow. We're talking about building a foundation in our lives to be able to walk in love towards others, to walk in love towards the world around us, to walk in love towards those at work. God wants us to walk and to be into complete unity with one another. No matter if there's, that's why I talked about this morning in communion. If there's anything you have in your heart right now towards someone else, get rid of it. If somebody has offended you, get over it. If somebody has said something, you know, a lot of people get offended. You know, an offense is a self-inflicting wound. You know, it's like when you get mad because of something someone said or someone did, it's like sticking a dagger in yourself and turning it. I can't believe they said that. How? I mean, I can't believe. It only hurts you. It doesn't hurt the people that made the offense. As a matter of fact, that word offend, guys that have trapped, that centerpiece of a trap when you trap an animal is where we get the word offend. And that is where you put the meat. That's the bait. When you take the bait of offense, a trap closes. And you're snared by that offense. Nobody got hurt in that except you. Nobody else. So if we're going to walk in complete unity, in our home, in our church, at work, wherever we're at, we need to be in complete unity. We need to be walking. You know, love is not an emotion. Do you know that? Love is a choice. I'm going to love you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to love you. It's not based on an emotion. I don't care if you said something wrong about me the other day. I'm going to love you anyways. I'm going to especially love this guy. I am. Love is a choice. Make that choice. You look around wherever you're at and make a decision that morning when you wake up and you look at yourself in the mirror. I'm going to love today, regardless. I'm going to love because God is in me. I can love because he's in me. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Psalms 133, 1. Psalms 133, 1. You guys are so much faster than me. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We need this in our lives. Bible says, how good is it that we dwell in unity together? Complete unity. And the way we're going to get there is walking in love. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Let's see if I can beat him. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that there be that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment.
that you speak the same thing. You know, this is always in reference to the covenant. What's the Word of God say? That's what we're all supposed to be believing. The same thing. Does the Bible say to all be in complete unity? Then we need to be in complete unity. No matter if there's some little nitpicking issue that might be bothering somebody about something. You know, I've noticed that a lot of people can get offended because someone they know said, someone they know said, someone they know said. And who said they ever said it or did it? We don't know that. That's why we're supposed to listen to what's the Holy Spirit saying to us. Do that. Don't worry about all this other stuff out there that can cloud your judgment. Walk in love. Strive for complete unity within your church, your home, your job. And 1 Corinthians 12, 25. The Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that there should be no divisions, no schisms in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. You know, when one of us hurts, we should all hurt. When one of us are rejoicing, we should all be rejoicing. God wants us to walk in complete unity. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to start in 25. We already read that. Let's go to 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, early teachers, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts that God has for you pertaining to the gifts that you have. Every one of you, I think, knows what it is God's called you to do. God has probably been putting it on your heart ever since you were little. There's things that you long for that you're passionate about. Seek first those gifts that God wants to give you to fulfill your purpose in this life. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but I encourage you to go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter on love. You know, it's vitally important that we all understand from God's viewpoint about the importance of how to love one another, about how to treat one another. Love restores. Love completely heals. Love, we're talking about building a foundation. Love is going to build a solid foundation, a foundation of rock, unmovable. If we're building our lives on anything other than the Word of God and love, it's shaky and it's movable. And we're going to be tossed to and fro by everything that's said, done, that's going to cause us to veer off course. And there's going to be no flow in our lives, because there's a barrier. There's a barrier. If there's a wall, water can't get through. The wind of the Spirit can't blow through if there's an obstruction there because of something we're holding on to that's been bothering us, that we've been hurt by. And we've all been hurt. I understand this. But we need to forgive and forget. How many know that Jesus threw all of our sins into the sea of forgetfulness? He doesn't remember. When he sees you and me, all he sees is his son. That's all he sees. He doesn't see our mistakes. When I look in the mirror in the morning and I see me, I know what's in there. I know what I have to grow in. I know the things that God doesn't see that. It's called grace. He looks at us through his viewpoint. He sees us complete in him. We're the ones that have to grow and develop to walk in what he knows we are. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. If therefore any consolation, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem one another better than themselves. Are you hearing that? Let's look at others through God's viewpoint. Look not on every man or woman on his own things, but let every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know, we need to look at others through God's viewpoint. We need to walk in, and love restores all things. There's not one problem that we've encountered in life. There's not one offense that we've held on to that cannot be utterly destroyed by the pouring of water, the Word of God, the blessings of God, that can change it completely, like new. It's a choice that we have to make. Love is a choice. It's not an emotion. So again, we're building a foundation. You know, the Latin phrase for rapture is rapere, R-A-P-E-R-E. It means to be transported from one place to another. And we have different illustrations in the Bible. In Hebrews 11:5, I don't know if I gave these to you guys. Enoch was translated. He was taken away. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, and he pleased God. You know, we're all going to stand before God, and we all want the same thing to be said. Well done. Good job. You know, you handled that adversity well. I'm proud of you. You know, one of the highest compliments I've ever gotten in life is a guy called me one time at 2 in the morning. He was one of the first guys to share Jesus with me that I can remember that actually got born again. And it was at work. It was in the mills. And this was several years later. 2 in the morning, called me up, and he was drunk. And I go, man, what's wrong? He goes, I just had to tell you something. He goes, you know, I've watched all the things that you've gone through in life. I saw what you and your family went through when you had that accident. And you know what? You just kept moving forward. You didn't give up and quit. Well, he gave up and quit. He went back to doing some things he used to do before he got saved. And he is still saved. He was just in a hard spot. And he called to encourage me to make sure that I don't end up where he ended up. God sees these things in us. You're going to have people, and I'm sure there's many of you here that have already had people tell you that. They see Jesus in you. You know, the disciples, they said about the scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders of the day said, wow, these guys must have spent time with Jesus. What's that mean? That means they see God in you. They see the authority, the love, the grace that you have in your life towards other people. And trust me, everybody wants to be like you. Everybody wants to be better than what they are. You know, during the 60s, during the Jesus movement, man, people were coming off the streets in groves. They wanted something better. They wanted to know that there's hope. You know, I spent a lot of time going to AA, NA meetings on purpose. I would go just to hang out with people that were hurting because I had a message for them, a message of grace and love that God would set them free. You know, they saw something in me. And I would, after every meeting, I would have people come outside and grab a hold of me and hug me and hold me and look at me and say, please pray for me that I can have what you have. I don't know how to do this. I said, it's real simple. Just pray the prayer I prayed, you know. I need you. I need you. And I didn't know the sinner's prayer. I didn't know God would do anything. I didn't know born again meant. I didn't know what being healed meant. But he did. And it was all because of my words, of my heart. I went to him and said, I can't do this anymore, man. I can't do this. And you know, the guy that came to my place where I worked at, this young man, he worked there about a week. He was on cleanup detail, you know? And I didn't really know him. I just saw him as he was cleaning up. And this was the night before I got born again. It was a bad night. I mean, I hit my bottom that night hard. I take my foreman out. I tried to do anything I could to end my life. Just, I was tired of it. I couldn't deal with it anymore. And this guy walked up to me with a book. And he said, he goes, I can tell. I know you know about God, but I want you to know him. He handed me that book. And you understand, in a mill, man, it's loud. I mean, things are, it's noisy. I took that book and I slammed it down. I said some things. He left. I was not happy to hear that. I didn't want to know about God at that moment. This guy, the reason he was there, he wanted to know what it was like to work at the bottom somewhere. This guy was a computer technician, smart, articulate. He was a very knowledgeable young man, making a lot of money. But he wanted to know what it was like to be at the bottom somewhere. So he came to work at the mill and did cleanup. So God sent a guy to the mill to do a dirty old job so he could minister to me. I don't know where that guy is now. I never saw him afterwards. Maybe he was an angel. I don't know. But I saw something in him, even though I don't want to admit it. And I don't really remember what was in that book. I just remember that I sat down that night and I read it. And I'd been up 3-4 days, no sleep, working. And I just remember God's word in that book. Something that was said made me realize that he was there. And I fell asleep. I threw on the front room floor. I woke up in the same spot, leaning up against the couch. I woke up. I couldn't believe it. Love had changed my life. I didn't know what love was. I mean, I saw bits and pieces of it in my wife. I understood that I wanted to be like her. I didn't know how. But she was always this loving, kind, good person. But all of a sudden, it was in me. I caught it. It's contagious, I guess. And I ran in the bathroom and looked in the mirror. And I know I've shared this before. It's worth sharing again. When I was 15, I looked in the mirror and I wanted to know what it was like to be normal. I'd been doing drugs since I was 8 years old. By the time I was 15, there's nothing I hadn't done. I wanted to know what it's like to be normal. How do you get up without doing something to go? How do you laugh without doing something to make you laugh? How do you go to bed without taking something to make you go to sleep? The cycle is vicious. That's when I was 15. When I was almost 30, I ran in the mirror, bathroom. Everybody's still asleep. I saw that guy I always wanted to be. I couldn't explain it. My eyes sparkled white. Man, they were yellow. I was doing so many drugs. I was drinking like a fish. I didn't hurt. My body didn't hurt. My eyes were clear. I was so excited, I couldn't help. I ran in the bedroom, and I woke my wife up. I said, honey, wake up, wake up. God did something in my life last night. She pulled the covers over her head, and she said, I heard it all before. I went, fair enough. I deserve that. I do. I understand. So, man, I'm getting off my message, but this story's good. You know, I went, I had kegs, I had drugs, I had paraphernalia, I had stuff that I felt clean. And for whatever reason, I thought all these things were wrong. I went out and I had a burn barrel, I think, out back. I was just burning stuff. I was dumping. My son helped me bust open kegs, dumped them out in the backyard. I felt good. I felt holy. I felt clean. And I just, anything that I thought was dirty, I mean, I threw all my records away. I threw, and now they're worth probably a lot of money. But I had to separate myself from that. And I didn't know why. I just knew something happened. So I did that. We're all creatures of habit. We are. It's just instinct. It was Saturday morning. I went up, bought a couple cases of beer, went back home, worked around the house. Kegs, they were for other times. And I went up, and I grabbed a couple kegs or cases of beer, put them on the counter, and the guy was there going, hey, yeah, here we go, you know. I was a good customer there. He was glad to see me. And I went, wait a minute. I don't want this. What am I doing? And he goes, yeah, all right, you know, yeah. And I said, no, really, I don't want this, man. Something happened in my life last night. I don't know what it was. I don't. I think it was God. I don't want this. So I set it off to the side, and I went back to the cooler, and I grabbed a six-pack of black cherry soda pop. And I set that on the counter. I said, I want that. And I went home a new man. I went home with a different outlook on life. Love changed me from the inside out. I still didn't understand it. Still didn't know what born again meant. I had to seek these things out. I went knocking on doors of churches. What's it like when you ask God into your life? I don't know. I don't know. So I need to know because something happened. And I get all these different kind of philosophies, and I'm going like, no, I don't want all that. I mean, what's a person supposed to feel like after he gives his life to the Lord? I mean, is he supposed to feel good? I mean, does God heal a body? Yeah, some said yes. Some said, well, brother, you know, that depends on what God's will is for you. And I'm going, okay, well. So I just keep knocking on doors. Keep getting opinions. That's why, Pastor Henry, that's why this church will always push you back to the Word. What is God saying to you? Because everybody's got opinions. Everybody has philosophies about how to do this and how to do that. But what does this say? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I was free. And you know, I am going to get into the rapture of the church, I promise. My stepmom was from South America. She called up a couple days after I gave my life to the Lord. Unbeknownst to me, she was at a prayer meeting at Assembly God Church back home praying for me. You know, and here I thought it was just all me. I gave my life to her. I was inspired. I mean, there was something that God was doing in me. She called me up, and I wish I could talk like she did because it's kind of cute. You know? She goes, you know, I know that you got a born again the other night. And she goes, you are going to come down here, and you're going to speak at the church on a Sunday night. And I go, I love you. Click. I hung up. She called me back. I ain't doing this. I can't even talk to people. I ain't kidding you. I had never talked in front of people ever, and I wasn't looking forward to doing it now, thank you. I'm born again. I mean, something happened. God's good. Praise God. Let's leave it at that. Well, she kept it up. And I have never taken a vacation in my life. I worked every shutdown. I was a workaholic. I had to make money so my wife could stay home as much as possible. I mean, that was my mindset. I didn't understand a lot of truths about that. And just checked. I said, well, I think I'm supposed to go. I took a week. That was the hardest thing I ever did. If you're a workaholic, and that's all you've ever done ever since you were old enough to walk, that's hard. But I did it. I had to force myself. I felt like I had an anchor back here. I was dragging because I knew I was supposed to be back there making money. I went. And on the way down there, she had it put on the radio. I'm listening to K-Love or something. In Rio Dell, California, Pat Bannister is going to be speaking at assembly. I mean, beads of sweat were breaking out. I was getting faint. I thought, oh my, this can't be happening to me. She did. At this little Assembly of God church, it was a brand new facility. It only held maybe a couple hundred people, but standing room only, there was a lot of folks that came. I mean, cops that used to arrest me, Boy Scout leaders, teachers, everybody came to see a miracle. Me. There's no way this could ever happen. That's not true. I mean, nobody believed it. They thought it was just a sales pitch or something to try to fill the seats or something. I got there, man, I was a wreck. I saw all these people and I thought, I don't know what. And the pastor's going, I want you to tell them, man. I want you to get right down and you tell them exactly everything you did. I want you. I go, I can't, man. I can't talk about that kind of stuff in church. And I didn't. I just said, you know, I want them to know what God has done for me now. I mean, there's a time and place. Don't get me wrong. When I'm in jail, when I'm somewhere, guys one-on-one, I'll share a little bit about how ugly I was and all the stuff we did. But for the general population, I just didn't feel comfortable doing that. And thank God for big pulpits. This thing was about that wide. And I stood behind that thing. My knees were going bam, 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 bam. I heard that happen sometimes, but it became a reality to me. And I was thinking, I hope they're just seeing this. And I'm hanging on to this thing, you know, I'm shaking. And I didn't know what to say. But the second I opened my mouth, I mean, peace. Don't get me wrong, I was still a little shaky. But there was a peace. There was a confidence. There was a hope that I had that I couldn't explain. I've never experienced this. I was not good in public. I did everything I could to stay away from the public eye. A lot of it had to do with my lifestyle. You just didn't, you know. How many knows that if you love someone, they can hurt you? If you open up yourself to somebody and you bare your soul to them, they could hurt you. You know that? I never let myself in a position for that to happen. I had a wall up, man. I would not let anybody in. I wouldn't do it. I had to learn how to do that. I had to learn how to receive from people. If you would have walked up to me and said, hey, man, God told me to give you this $100. I say, no, I can't, man. I don't need it, but thank you. That's how I was raised. Don't you ever ask for help, boy. Okay, Dad. You know, I mean, you're trained in a certain way. It took me years to learn how to receive. You know, when somebody walks up, I tell you, I can get you. Somebody walks up and says, man, you're good. Whatever it is you do, you know, I see this in you. You are. I can tell. You know, if that person, I'll use someone I actually really did that to. This young lady was a singer, I mean, she's got a beautiful voice. Greg's niece. I told her, I said, man, your voice is angelic. God is doing a huge work in you, man. You keep singing. You keep pouring out what it is that God's placed in you to do. And she, and right, I mean, immediately she goes, well, it's not me, you know, just it's the Lord. And I go, stop right there. When someone gives you a compliment, say thank you. Say thank you. Man, because that person is pouring into your life. He or she's telling you what they see. Receive that compliment. Yeah, we all know it's the Lord. We do. But there's times when we need to respectfully say thank you. Thank you. Because they need to know what you see too. And it's okay to receive a compliment. We have to learn how sometimes. But it's okay. Receive what they're saying. We're building a foundation on love. The Latin phrase for rapture is rapere. It means to transport from one place to another. Men, how many of you are enraptured with love for your wife? How many of you are intoxicated with the love for your wife? Remember, rapture is to be taken from one place to another. I can't tell you the amount of times that I'm sitting there trying to study, or I'm driving down the road, going somewhere, I'm listening to something, trying to focus, and all of a sudden, my wife's picture will pop in my mind. Or if I'm in my study, I'll glance over and I'll see her picture sitting there. And the next thing I know, I'm somewhere else. I am so in love with her that I look and I go, man, I just remember all the things she's done for my family, our family in life. All the love, all the hard work, all the hardships she went through pretty much because of me in those early years. I get enraptured with that, man. And I'm drifting somewhere else. And I got to go, hey, get back. You know, like Pastor John's favorite commercial, you know, what day is it? Yeah, Mike. We are, and Jesus is enraptured with us too. Do you know that? That's why we're with him. He loved us first. Because he gave us his love, we have that same love to him. And we have that same love to one another. Love's a choice. You may not like something I say. You may not like something so-and-so does. But you know what? Love me anyways. Love that other person anyways. Because that's the will of God concerning you. Amen? Amen. So we are intoxicated with the love of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And I'll let you guys put these up. You get there quicker than me. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. That cloud of witnesses, folks, when we're taken out of this place, when we're snatched away, when we're translated, when we're raptured out of here, there's going to be a group of people, there's going to be a cloud of witnesses, those that slept before us, that are going to be there to meet us in the air. And what a day that's going to be, man. All those people that have gone on before us, they're going to be there. They're probably leaning over the banister of life right now, looking down here going, come on, guys, run your race. Get after it. How many times do you hear the voice of an old friend maybe you haven't seen in a long time? Most of the guys I grew up with are all dead now. But I can hear their voice saying, come on, Bannister, pick it up. Out of nowhere, I'll hear some old friend say that to me. And I go, wow. He's probably up there encouraging me right now to run my race, to fulfill the race, to complete the race, just like the Apostle Paul. Man, I would rather go home to be with Jesus, but for your sake, I'm going to stick around a while. Amen. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Remember in the beginning, the Apostle Paul said there's three things we should not be ignorant of. Spiritual gifts, the rapture of the church, the salvation of Israel. Be not ignorant of these things. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep is always in reference to those believers that have gone on before us. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Christ, in Jesus, will God bring with him. I'm going to read you some. Understand that when a Christian dies, they are placed in the ground. It's normal to have sorrow. But we do not sorrow as those that have no hope. Why? Because we know where they're at. We know that they are waiting for us. Many have buried mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, and children. Even though sadness comes, it cannot remove the joy residing inside, knowing that separation is only temporary. We will only be separated for a few years, and then we'll see our loved ones again. King David said, when his young child died, I will go to be with him, but he will not return to me. Even David knew one day he would see his child in heaven. We will see our friends and relatives who have died in Christ in heaven one day. Weeping may endure for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. Man, that's something we have the world doesn't. When you don't know where you're going when you die, there's a lot of fear involved in that. But we don't have that fear. We have confidence. We have peace. We have joy in the resurrected King that's taken care of those that have gone on before us. And I want you to know, like I said, they're probably leaning over that banister of heaven right now, going, come on, man, get with it. Don't worry about me. I got a resurrection body. I'm on streets of gold. You guys are still down there on pavement. So I'm encouraging you, run your race. Run your race. Now in 1 Corinthians 15, let me make sure I don't get ahead of myself here. 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll continue on here a little bit. In verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's that cloud of witnesses that's going to meet us when we leave this place. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, caught up to heaven, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The teaching on the rapture should comfort us. It should encourage us. It's what we have to look forward to. No one knows the day or the hour, but the Bible says you'll know the season. You'll know. You guys can sense. You know that the coming of the Lord is near. You know, the Bible says that Israel is referred to as a fig tree. And it says that fig tree, when it blossoms, fig tree Israel became a nation in 1948. And it says that that generation will not pass away until all things are fulfilled. We're that generation. Encourage one another with these words. We have set before us, you understand there's a lot of work to be done here, right? God blessed us with this building. He paid for this building. Now, step two, we got a lot to do until he returns. And the way we're going to accomplish that, according to the foundation we're laying today, is walk in love, to encourage one another, to forgive one another, to pray for one another, to support one another. In 1 Corinthians, I'm going to kind of pick up the pace here. 1 Corinthians 15. And I hope you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trump, trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The resurrection of life, our new bodies are awaiting us. Until then, we got a race to run, and we're going to accomplish that race by walking in love and fulfilling the law of God, by walking in love and encouraging one another. In this particular scripture, we're talking about in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I mean, just blink your eye. It's fast. It's a fast moment in time, and people are not going to notice around you that it happened. When the trumpet sounds, we're gone. They're going to realize where to go, but they're not going to see it happen. They're not going to hear the trumpet sound. This is for just us. The problem people encounter with this verse is falling. I am in the wrong spot. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm sorry. Let's go now to 1 Thessalonians again. 1 Thessalonians 5. Ba-dum-bum. 5:12 through 28. Actually, I'm going to start. A little sooner. I'm going to start in verse 1. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, and that day should not overtake you as a thief in the night. You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. We're children of the light. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet of hope and salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not going through the wrath of God. There's a lot of teaching out there where the church is going through the wrath of God. The Bible's clear. The church is going home before that wrath is poured out upon a Christ-rejecting sinful world. So I encourage you with these words. You're not going through the wrath of God. Can you imagine? I mean, your Heavenly Father that you know, that you love, you know Him. I know Him. I can't even fathom Him allowing His bride to go through His wrath right before the wedding. Does that make any sense? No. He's a God of love. We're going home, folks, when the trumpet sounds. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 12, I'm going to continue on. And we beseech you in verse 12, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. This is talking about the leadership of where you're at. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all. See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. What's the will of God? rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing and give thanks, for this is the will of God. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Go home and make sure, study this yourself. Make sure that what I'm telling you is accurate. That's your responsibility. Prove all things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a big responsibility for all of us. There's a lot of things that you might think it's okay to do. You might feel in your heart you have no conviction about it. But if you notice there's someone around you that does, don't do that for their sake. That's called walking in love. Abstain from even the very appearance of doing something that someone else might think is wrong. Amen? Don't do it. And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that's called you, who will also do it. Do what? Sanctify you wholly. Preserve you blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the people that are over you in business. Pray for your family that we may know the will of God pertaining you, pertaining to what we're called to do. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I'll meet you all after church. We'll exchange kisses. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. That's our responsibility. So we're reading to you what God's word has to say. Now we're almost done. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. Now we beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him. This is in reference to the rapture. We're going to be gathered unto him. When Jesus comes back for his church, he's not going to step foot on the earth. That's going to be the second coming. We're going to meet him in the clouds with those that have gone on before us. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. These folks were receiving letters from someone other than Paul saying they were Paul. They were afraid they missed the rapture because of the tribulation, because of the hard times that they were going through at that time in church history. They thought they missed it. Paul said, no. Do not be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember that I told you this. Don't you remember? When I was yet with you, I told you these things. I haven't changed my mind. He hasn't. It hasn't happened yet. He's coming soon. Maranatha. You know that word, I use it a lot. It means the Lord's coming soon. But the emphasis that Paul used when he used it at the end of one of his books in Corinthians was because he already came once. That means he's really coming soon. That just shows you how close we are to the return of the Lord. So I encourage you with those words. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only now he who letteth, old King James word, will let until he be taken out of the way. That word letteth means restrain. So, for the mystery of iniquity already works. Only he who restrains will restrain until he is taken out of the way. The he he's talking about is the church. It's the Holy Spirit within the church. Holy Spirit will always be here. After the rapture of the church, Holy Spirit will still be here. Men and women will give their heart and life to God during the tribulation. They'll be called the tribulation saints. So we, you and I, we're the ones that's restraining Satan from revealing himself as God. Isn't that something? You, me, the body of Christ, the Spirit of God in us. Hallelujah. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Praise God. Departure. In verse 3, that word falling away, this is something I wanted to explain. The problem people encounter with this verse is the phrase falling away. The Greek word for this phrase is not a verb, it's a noun. The Greek word apostasia, from which we get the English word apostasy, through the New Testament, when the Greek word apostasy is used, it has a negative connotation to it. For instance, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." The word departing is the verb of apostasia and is used in a negative sense. However, when the word apostasia stands alone, it's neither positive or negative. Its connotation is dependent upon its association with other words in that sentence. So the word apostasy in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 was translated by the King James Version writers according to all the other negative uses of the word. In this instance, the word apostasia is the noun form, and it does not mean falling away. It means departure. Putting it back into context, and there's, if you guys use other illustrations or different Bibles to study, there's a translation, it's called the Kenneth Weiss translation of the New Testament. He does an excellent job of deriving from Greek and putting it into English for us to help us understand. So putting it back into context, this actually could be translated, "Don't be fooled by any means, for the tribulation cannot come until the departure comes first." You know, in chapter 2, verse 1, the aforementioned departure of the church, and it's talking about the gathering of God unto himself, was mentioned in verse 1. The Antichrist cannot be revealed until we're gone. I mean, the rapture of the church is coming soon. What's that mean? I don't know. But the writers of Scripture have encouraged us. Apostle Paul thought it was going to be during his life. Do you think it's going to be during our life? I think there's a lot of things that were revealed after Paul left that's fulfilling Scriptures at a rapid pace. And I praise God for it. Jesus is coming soon. So to go back over, one more scripture. I told you there was a bunch of them. Titus. Titus chapter 2. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that to die in ungodly and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Jesus is God. He's coming back for us. The rapture is called the blessed hope of the church. That's encouraging. So encourage one another with these words. Comfort people. People that are going through a hard time, people that are hurting, people that are full of sorrow because of a lost loved one or lost a job, whatever it might be, comfort them. Let them know Jesus loves them. Walk in love towards that person. We have a huge responsibility as believers in this world. I'm sorry, one more scripture. 1 John chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. Believing that Jesus could come back while I'm talking right now purifies ourselves. It makes us, enables us, empowers us to live a holy life. You know, I've done this. I've asked several kids. I've asked my own grandkids. If Grandpa was with you all day, all night, would you do the same things you're doing now? Well, maybe not everything. Thinking that your Heavenly Father not only is in you and looking out your eyes and hearing all you're saying, but knowing of his immediate return, it gives you a hope and it empowers you to live a sanctified life. It does. So I want to encourage you, based on what God has said this morning, walk in love towards one another. Don't get hung up on little issues. Don't make mountains out of molehills. Walk in love. Encourage one another. The praise and worship team is going to come back up. I'll give you a kiss later. Give each other a holy kiss. I tell you, we're going to start something new here. Maybe they think we're all Italian, you know. God is good. God is gracious. God is true. Everything God says, everything he reveals is truth. Everything he says is right. Everything he says, you can count on. You can take it to the bank. Praise God. He's coming soon, folks. Are you ready? We got a lot to accomplish before he gets here, though, huh? We do. For those of you that have a passion for the vision, you know, the vision that was given to this church was given to who? Come on, Pastor Henry, Rosie. Just like Jacob, when he received that vision of the ladder going to heaven, he was on his knees in violent intercession. The Bible says he was literally in violent intercession, in a birthing position, giving birth to what God had called him to do. He was seeking God. That's what happened here. A man, a woman, received a vision from God. And guess what he did? He brought you. He brought me to accomplish, to help accomplish what God has shown Pastor Henry. It says in Genesis 28 that Jacob laid down in the stones in that place. I mean, he went from a place of Beersheba, a place of seven wells, prosperous, lush, beautiful. He went to Haran, a dry, desolate, parched place, and got on his knees in violent intercession. He laid down in the stones in that place. That stone's where we get the word Petros for us, people, in the New Testament. And he used the rock for his pillow. That word rock is a Hebrew word rosh, and it means eldership, leadership. God has called us alongside to help accomplish the vision God gave Pastor Henry. That's why we're here. Everybody that walks through that door comes through with wanting to know what's going on here. And when they do, we're able to share the vision with them. And if it's something they're supposed to be doing, they stay. If not, they go. There's a revolving door here. God's going to bring in the people that are supposed to be here to accomplish the task at hand. So praise God. Walk in love. Glorify God in the things that you do. Do as you do unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, whatever it might be. God loves you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for your perfect will to be done in this church, in this town, in this state, in this country, that we may glorify you in all that we do. Father, give us all the insight and understanding we need to accomplish your will in our lives. Teach us how to walk in love. Teach us how to forgive. Teach us how to be strong towards one another in love, in truth, that we may glorify you in all we do. And if there's ever prayer that's needed by any, you need prayer, come up. Seek somebody else out. Allow people to intercede with you and pray for you. Let them show you the love they have towards you. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. Have a healthy, prosperous week.